I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. In the name of the one holy, true, and living God. Amen. Happy New Year, happy Advent. It's a new season for us. Welcome to the mystery. There's a word, it's used I think only one time in the Bible, Maranatha, and it means several things. I can't quite figure it out because I don't speak fluid Chaldean, but Maranatha is meant to mean energy. Not just come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Hurry, Jesus, come quickly. It's also, some say, to mean that Jesus has come quickly. And that's what we deal with this Advent mystery. We are praying as we approach Christmas and we prepare ourselves for something, we're getting ready for something that happened 2,000 years ago. That's a part of it. That's what we do as a community. We prepare for something that has already happened. And we do this in mysterious ways. We come in and we pray from the symbol of the pray do. We pray on our knees during Advent. It's a time of penance and penitence. And then we also sing rejoice. Welcome to the mystery. There was a TV show some time ago called Unsolved Mysteries. Is there another kind of mystery? It's a mystery that we need to immerse ourselves into, to engage into the mystery, not so we can solve it, but that we can live in that. How do we face Advent? Is it on our knees? Or is it in rejoicing? It's both and. I saw a wonderful painting by a young lady that I hope you can share with everyone here today. It's by young Clara, and she was painting the word awake. And that's what we're called to do today. Wake up! And in her beautiful little painting, people are dancing in joy. Others will awake in the time of Advent by being pushed down onto their knees in repentance. It is both, and they are both correct. We need to engage in that personally. Please see that we all get that wonderful piece of art, Jan. Thank you. Our scriptures today are about time, and that we need to be mindful of time. But how much time do we have? As we look forward, we think about our own mortality, and there's this problem that we seem to have that nobody wants to die, but everybody wants to go to heaven. How do we prepare? For what do we prepare? We need to be ready always, Jesus says. They apparently asked Jesus after he said, this generation won't pass away before I come back. And lots of people will tell you, well, they didn't know what they were doing because that generation is long dead. But generation in that sense meant this bloodline, this group, this belief system, these people, this tribe. And we will never pass away before our Lord comes back to us. But when, they want to know, when's he coming? Isn't that what you want to know, sort of? Do you want to know the day of your own death? Sort of. Do you want to know when Jesus is coming back? Sort of. And Jesus says part of that mystery is the Father knows and he's not telling you. He didn't tell the angels and he didn't tell me. So be ready. Be ready. And Jesus looks into the blackness of our heart in a way and says, look, if you knew what time the guy was coming to rob your house, you would just sit up all night and be ready for him, wouldn't you? But you wouldn't do it the night before. We want to know, when do we have to start being good? How good do I have to be? What are the rules? How do I get ready? What if it happens right now? Am I ready? My mother knew how to prepare me because she had this expression. She says, well, just think about it, Danny. Would you be happy if Jesus came back right now with whatever you're doing? Shudder, shudder, shudder. How do we get ready? We, as in a corporate sense, in here today, we'll get ready by going down to our knees and rejoicing in our heart. Paul reminds us that it's a very personal thing, and he says, you know what time it is. You know what time it is. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up and live the life that you truly want to, should be believing, because you know that salvation is closer today than it was at the time when the Lord first came into your life. It has to be in the passage of time. You know what time it is, how it is time, the moment to wake from sleep. Well, how do I know what to do? How do I know what to not do? And Paul covers the whole gamut of human behavior, and he tells us, well, here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to avoid. Lay aside the works of darkness. Those things that happen at night. The trouble we get into. The scandal. Those things. Lay those aside. The drunkenness. The debauchery. And the licentiousness. That's what he says to the people of Rome. And that's what he says to us. Put away drunkenness. Moral depravity. Promiscuity. So we might, most of us, be able to say, I'm good. I'm good. But the next two speak to every one of us. Put away quarreling. To get ready for the kingdom of God, put away quarreling. And it would be fair to say that right now, at this time in our country, it's the time of the great quarrel. Amen. The problem with quarreling is every time I quarrel with somebody, they refuse to understand that they're wrong. Isn't that the nature of it? It doesn't say put away being wrong. It says put away quarreling. It's not about being right. It's not about being wrong. It's up to us, the called, the believers, who really want to prepare our hearts in Advent, for Christmas, for the coming, to put away quarreling. And it's not just on a national level. At Thanksgiving, who was absent from your family table? Who was estranged from you because of a quarrel? A foolish one. Aren't they always foolish? Aren't they always small? It's not up to us to wait for that person to come to us. It says, put away the quarreling. And we are called to do that. That's for all of us. And also put away jealousy. To be content with what we have, whatever it is. Not to want what somebody else wants. Not to want what somehow I thought I deserved. Put away jealousy. If we could put away jealousy in our heart, if we could put away and solve the quarreling, we would be doing what Paul calls, and I want to use his words, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, you have to get rid of some of you. How do we prepare personally? We rejoice on our knees. We're willing to engage into the mystery that God is already and not yet, that we are not fully revealed as we will be. In 1 Corinthians, there's some words that I truly love. And it says, behold, I will tell you a mystery. You will not all die, but you'll all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, some will die and some will just be changed. That's what Jesus was talking about. Two men will be standing side by side. One is taken up, one is left behind. Two women, I love the example, the women are working. The women are working side by side. One is taken up and one is left behind. Our Advent call is to discern, to work, to pray, to find the way, to put away the quarreling and the jealousy, and to engage in the mystery that says, what do I do, Lord? What do I do, Lord, to ensure that I can be taken up? And do that in the knowledge that we don't get to heaven because we're good. We get to heaven because God is good. Amen.
Amen.